If you want to talk about a band that just oozes Detroit swagger, the Dirt Bombs, in my mind, do that very, very well. And that's the Dirt Bombs also doing a Stevie Wonder song very, very well, Living in the City. Before the Dirt Bombs from 1988's Vivid album, Living Color, gave us Glamour Boys. You know, I actually got a chance to meet those guys back around, it was like 1990, I believe it was. And I remember getting on their tour bus. I was going to do a little interview with them. And Corey Glover's in the back playing Tetris. That's what I remember. Hey, before the Living Color, started the entire set off with King's X from 1990 and It's Love. That pretty much wraps up what we need to do. I do need to tell you a couple things, though. I do. First and foremost, every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross brings help and hope to people in need. Thanks to the support of everyday heroes like you. Yeah, now, because of that, the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters, big and small. They support military families. They help ensure that blood is available when it's needed. And they also teach life-saving skills like CPR and first aid. So you can be a hero and donate today. You can visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Also, don't forget, you go to our website, wrct.org, and you can stream if you're not doing it now. You can actually listen to this program. Like, let's say you're driving, and there's just no good radio on, and maybe you don't have the satellite radio, or you're just tired of it. You can just hook up your phone to the internet and listen. I've done that. You can also find a schedule with all our shows on there. And there's a lot of good shows for you to check out. Don't forget, you can always check out Jay Thurber, that snarky kid that you like to say, okay, Gen Xer, too, with his program Radio 9. It happens each and every Saturday from noon to 3. It's a mix of oldies and newies, and as I mentioned, a little snark. It's Radio 9 with Jay Thurber right here on Independent Freeform Radio, 88.3 FM. And don't forget, you can catch me down at Arsenal Lanes on Thursdays, or you can just email me if you got a song you want to hear on a future show, wrctrequest@gmail.com. Dave Brubeck has been my background music for the duration of my program with one of my favorite songs. It's Take 5. Thanks for listening to the Viva La Mock Radio Show.
Michael Norman, your health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Infections like polio, smallpox, and measles used to be as common as coronaviruses today, but now we have life-saving vaccines for those and other diseases. Sadly, too many children still go unvaccinated. Choosing to delay or refuse vaccine puts your child and other children at serious risk. So talk to your child's doctor today about vaccines. And for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh. It's time for Viva La Mock.
AIX Morning News Update. Mock's promise to rewrite rock history was prematurely and tragically interrupted last night when an overwhelming... power surge totally destroyed Carnegie Hall and blacked out the entire city. Survivors described the destruction as evil, spooky, and wow, bad karma, man. Our cameras are on the scene.
RCT, the in sound from way out.
If you're already concerned about the direction of the United States, I don't know that today's program is going to make you feel that much better. We had two major rallies in the United States this weekend, each more depraved than the last. We had the March for Life anti-abortion rally, which we're going to get to. We also had the anti-vaccine defeat the mandates rally in Washington, D.C. And this rally was headlined, and this makes me really sad because I know the guy, very nice guy in private, not a dumb guy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, as some of you know, I've had dinner with in a small group and is someone that through environmental lawyers I know is kind of in my circle. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. headlining the Defeat the Mandates rally in Washington, D.C. and saying that vaccine mandates are worse than the Nazi Holocaust. I mean, this really is tough to watch. The context of this rally before we get to the clip is that this was supposedly an anti-mandate rally, not an anti-vax rally. But a lot of the people there are historically anti-vax. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. At one point I tuned in and there was a woman talking about vaccines causing autism. I mean, for all the claims that they're only against the mandates, it was all of the typical anti-vax stuff. Dr. Robert Malone was there, Dr. Peter McCullough, sort of a who's who of Joe Rogan guests. And I'm going to play this clip for you. And this is maybe one of the most disgusting things I've seen. And it's particularly disturbing because this is a guy I know who I had dinner with once, and he seemed completely connected to reality. So here is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Listen to this clip going viral yesterday. Take a look.
Even in Hitler Germany, you could cross the Alps into Switzerland. You can hide in an attic like Anne Frank did. I visited in 1962 East Germany with my father and met people who had climbed the wall and escaped. So it was possible. Many died doing it, but it was possible. Today, the mechanisms are being put in place that will make it so none of us can run and none of us.
This is absolutely unconscionable and disgusting. Now, it's also historically inaccurate in the sense that they got Anne Frank and her family and killed her. So she was only even if you concede the completely disgusting, vile trivialization of the Holocaust and you know, you put aside 10 different things. They got Anne Frank. Anne Frank couldn't hide at the end of the day. They got her and they got her family and they killed her. But what is the obsession here with trivializing the trauma of the Holocaust? Vaccine requirements to get your kid in school are like when the Nazis killed the Jews, conducted disgusting medical experiments on them, imprisoned them in work camps, gassed Jews. That's like when a school says, for everybody's safety, little Joey's got to get a few vaccines. And there was a very good tweet from the Auschwitz Memorial Museum account saying, quote, exploiting of the tragedy of people who suffered, were humiliated, tortured, and murdered by the totalitarian regime of Nazi Germany, including children like Anne Frank, in a debate about vaccines and limitations during global pandemic, is a sad symptom of moral and intellectual decay. And understand that Bobby Kennedy's not even just exploiting the tragedy of the Holocaust. He's saying it wasn't as bad as what's, quote, happening to them now. And of course, nothing is happening. Now, I want to play a couple other parts of this. Let me just play it and then I'll comment, because there's also some other interpretations. There's some other aspects to this.
Hide. Within 5 years, we're going to see 415,000 low orbit satellites.
Wait, what?
Bill Gates says his 65,000 satellites alone will be able to look at every square inch of the planet 24 hours a day.
We already can, by the way.
They're putting in 5G to harvest our data and control our behavior. Digital currency that will allow them to punish us from a distance and cut off our food supply.
So it's like he goes into other conspiracies. I actually, this is where Bobby Kennedy's intelligence actually comes through. It sounds like he's doing all of the same conspiracies that a lot of the anti-vaxxers do. 5G and you know, government control and all these different things. But if you listen, he's actually being really careful, because even when he talks about 5G, he's like, they're going to be able to harvest our data and control our behavior. He's not actually saying the stuff the 5G people say about neurological control. He's sort of saying like 5G has more bandwidth, and thus it'll be easier to harvest data about our activities online and then use that to guide us to buy certain products. Or like, my point here is he seems to know that that part is total BS, and he's like stopping short and using coded language that sort of sounds like the conspiracy but really isn't. Same thing with cryptocurrency. Like, they're going to use cryptocurrency to kill our supply chain. That he's virtue signaling to the conspiracy theorists who are buying his book and making it number one on Amazon and whatever else, the book about Dr. Fauci, if you can imagine. But that, when I see that, is when I think this may be to some degree a little bit of a grift, and he may not believe everything he's saying. Doesn't make it any less damaging, and we have to condemn this disgusting stuff. Many appeals to violence from the crowd goers. If you looked in the crowd, the signs people were holding, there was one that said, shoot those who try to kidnap and vaccinate your child. And that quotes Exodus 21:16, which reads, quote, anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death. Okay. Lots of Holocaust trivialization. People with the Stars of David, some of them, you know, some call them Jewish stars. They were all over the place. We have one on the screen for you. And then a really bizarre moment, some of the musical entertainment. There's like a sort of dance thing that was going on. It did look like the person dancing was having a stroke or a medical event of some kind. Like, every aspect of this was insane. Let me just play this for you. If you're not watching today, if you're just listening, just imagine someone appearing to have a stroke. Anyway, hopefully they did get medical help for that individual if needed. Disgusting rally, and really a sign that things are not going very well in this country. And then we've got the other rally to talk about. There was another rally this past weekend. It wasn't just the crazy anti-vax rally. There was also the completely unhinged, more religiously oriented anti-choice rally. They call it the March for Life. It's really the march against choice, against bodily autonomy, against allowing people, mostly women, along with their partners, who could be male or female, to make decisions about what's best for their health and their pregnancies. This is the very long time in existence now, March for Life. And many of you are already familiar with the endless hypocrisies with these March for Life people, but the Good Liars did some really good work. They went out to the March for Life and they interviewed some of the anti-abortion people, and they seemed completely unable to understand the irony and hypocrisy of the things they believe. Here is a really great example of an anti-choice guy being interviewed about My Body, My Choice, which he says doesn't make any sense when it comes to abortion. But when presented with that, when it comes to vaccines, all of a sudden he says, yeah, My Body, My Choice. Completely impervious to hypocrisy. Take a look at this.
What message would you have to women who are considering having an abortion?
When a woman becomes pregnant, there's two bodies there. It's not one. And it's not my body, my choice.
Oh.
It's care for the child. There's adoption. There's other routes to go.
And what do you say to people out there that say that they don't want to get the COVID vaccine?
If the my body, my choice works for abortion, why doesn't the same work for the vaccine?
Which, of course, you could say the same thing, right? Hold on a second. If my body, my choice works for the vaccine, why couldn't it work for abortion? Like, without a hint of irony.
If it's my body, it should be my choice of whether or not I want to vaccinate.
These people. And the theme here, by the way, is a lot of just telling other people what to do. Another really common one is never, ever, ever abortion because there's adoption. And a lot of these people that advocate for that, they go, well, no, I mean, I'm not adopting anyone, but other people should. All right. So here's another interesting interview from the good liars. Sorry.
I saw the sign, choose adoption.
Yeah.
And how many children have you adopted?
Not able to adopt. I'd love to adopt. We weren't able to adopt. Oh,
gotcha. And how many children have you adopted?
None.
I have two of my own. Message. Yeah.
And how many children have you adopted?
None.
And how many children have you adopted?
I have two of my own.
Yeah.
But so you've adopted?
I have two of my own.
But
I
don't have adopted. No. Okay.
The message.
Okay.
So understand that this is all about telling other people don't have an abortion ever, because instead you should pursue adoption, and also telling other people go and adopt. I mean, we're not doing it. No, we're not going to participate in any of that. But other people should not have abortions, and then other people should adopt their babies. It's all about what other people are supposed to do. Here's a bonus. This is Gene Mancini, who runs the March for Life, saying that they have been praying and fasting to end abortion. I didn't know that they were fasting. Take a listen to this.
I have never seen the enthusiasm of the pro-life movement like I've seen this year. It's like we have prayed and fasted for years for this moment, and we're so hopeful and positive that Roe will be overturned.
I had no idea that they were fasting to end abortion. Now, I don't know a lot about fasting. The closest I would ever get would be as a kid. The first 2 hours of the Passover Seder felt like I was fasting, even though I had not actually fasted, and until the matzo ball soup came out and we could have the food. I have to admit, I don't know a lot about religious fasting, but I did not realize that they thought fasting would end abortion. I had no idea. Every little detail about this is outrageous, and just rally after rally. And the fact that people go to this stuff really showing us the dire state of the discourse in the United States. Speaking of dire state of discourse, I have an invitation to some of you. This weekend, Saturday, January 29th, Donald Trump is doing another 2022 rally. This one is in Conroe, Texas. We would like to hire someone from our audience to go to the rally and interview people live. We'll be on a stream, and they'll do some interviews, and also I will feed them some questions that I have for the Trump rally goers. So here's the deal. We will pay you. We only need like one team, probably one camera person, or you know, maybe one. You might even be able to film yourself, but if you can get yourself to Conroe, if you live in the area, and you can figure out how to get in, right? Like either you get a ticket or you get a media registration. We can't help with those details, but we will pay. We will pay you to go and do this. And you have the equipment, which is like a phone at this point, basically. We want someone to go and do some interviews at the rally for us. So get in touch, info@davidpakman.com. Don't ask us how to get in. You have to look and see what the ticket situation is. Like it's too soon to handle all of the logistics, but we will pay. We'll come up with something fair. info@davidpakman.com. Ideally, you would live nearby. It would be easy for you to get there. Get in touch if you would be interested in doing that. info@davidpakman.com. All right. I have some amazing video for you today. Now, if you're allergic to cringe, I would tune away. But if you relish it, if you live for the cringe, then this is the segment for you. I've been talking now for a very long time about how the Republican Party has moved away from even pretending to be about policy. This sort of started during the civil rights movement in the late 50s, 60s and into the 70s. You can actually trace Republicans not being about policy all the way back to that. But in the more modern era, the Republican Party abandoning policy was accelerated when Newt Gingrich took over the control of speakership of the House of Representatives in 1994. When kind of dim-witted George W. Bush became president, Republicans moved further away from being about policy and instead being about cultural issues, et cetera, and memes and slogans. When Barack Obama became president, his being half black triggered so many of the more racist and xenophobic right wingers that the focus further went away from policy and more into personality stuff and culture war issues. And under Donald Trump, they pretended to even care about policy. And Joe Biden pointed this out at his press conference last week. Remember Joe Biden saying, "What are Republicans for?" Remember this?
Think about this. What are Republicans for? What are they for? Name me one thing they're for.
So Jake Tapper did something great. He had Republican Senator Joni Ernst on his program. She's from Iowa. Excuse me. And he said, "Can you name three things that Republicans actually stand for?" All of these Republicans are furious with Joe Biden because he said they're not for anything. But tell us three things that you are for. And it is as wild and vapid as you can imagine. Let's take a look at this. And we're going to go piece by piece here.
So Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he does not feel that Republicans need to present an agenda to the country. And generally speaking, I understand the politics. Midterms tend to be referenda on the people who are running the country. But what are three things that Republicans will do if you recapture the Senate in the midterms?
Well, I think that Republicans stand for a strong, free and prosperous nation. And
a free, prosperous nation. OK, well, let's talk policy.
So, one, we need to tackle the issue of inflation. Biden is facing a 40-year high with the inflation rate, and Iowans and all Americans are feeling those pressures. So alleviating those pressures on our families would be job number one. COVID is...
So, okay, wait, now listen to what she did there. She identified a problem. That's not a policy, and it's not a solution. She says inflation is high under Biden, and so we would reduce inflation. Okay, but that's not policy. Governments can use wage and price controls to fight inflation, but that can accelerate a recession and create job losses. You can look at contractionary monetary policy to fight inflation, reduce the money supply, look at bond prices, increase interest rate. She's identified a problem. It's like, how would you solve this cardiac issue that this person is having? Well, this individual is having a heart attack, so we would deal with that. No, right. But what I'm saying is, what is it that you would do to fix and deal with the heart attack? OK, that's number one. It's just stating a problem. Let's continue. She said something. Now she's going into COVID.
Well, we need to make sure that American families have access to testing, but certainly we want to make sure that they are getting their children back into school and that their workplaces are safe and they can return to work.
Now, understand that that's completely vapid. First of all, she didn't care about testing when testing was a disaster under Trump. So, you know, that's number one. Number two, most schools are open. Some schools have gone temporarily remote. Some have been forced to close because too many teachers got COVID and there's nobody there to teach. There's no policy there.
And then as well, we need to focus on additional things like, you know, foreign relations with our allies, because obviously with national security, we are under a lot of pressure right now. So Republicans believe in
that is nothing. You're not saying anything. She says the three priorities would be bringing down inflation, but she doesn't say how, fighting COVID when she didn't care about that under Trump and doesn't actually say what would be done. And most of the things she's saying she wants to see are already happening, like most schools open and workplaces open. And then they would do foreign relations. They really aren't for anything. She was given an opportunity. She could have said, what we are going to do very specifically is we will We will try to get the Fed to change direction on interest rates, which we believe would get inflation from X to Y. We would do this or that on, even if they're crazy things, like we would force schools to be open and be penalized. Like, even if it's crazy, say what you will do, given an opportunity and has nothing, literally nothing. They aren't for anything. Joe Biden was exactly right in pointing that out. But the crazy part is they might still take over the House and Senate, even not being for anything, because it's not clear they need to be for anything. The vast majority of their voters don't care that they aren't for anything. And that's really the scariest part of all of this. We now are learning more and more about what was actually a coordinated plan to send fraudulent electors in multiple states to Washington, D.C. to try to steal the election from Joe Biden. As a reminder, Joe Biden won the election in November of 2020. There was a concerted effort made across a number of different areas to try to steal the election by Donald Trump. We now know that Rudy Giuliani was at the helm of a fake elector plot in seven states. Rudy may now have legal problems as a result. CNN reporting, Trump campaign officials led by Giuliani oversaw efforts in December of 2020 to put forward illegitimate electors from seven states that Trump lost, according to three sources with direct knowledge of the scheme. The sources said members of Trump's former campaign team were far more involved than previously known, a core tenet of the broader plot to overturn Joe Biden's victory on January 6th. Giuliani and allies coordinated the nuts and bolts of the process on a state-by-state level, the sources told CNN. One source said there were multiple planning calls between Trump campaign officials and Republican state operatives, and that Giuliani participated in at least one call. The source also said that the Trump campaign lined up supporters to fill elector slots, secured meeting rooms in state houses for the fake electors to meet on December 14th, and circulated drafts of fake certificates that were ultimately sent to the National Archives. Trump and some of his top advisors publicly encouraged the alternate elector scheme in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Arizona, Wisconsin, Nevada, and New York. But behind the scenes, Giuliani and Trump campaign officials actively choreographed the process, the source said. They were going to try to dump in
big, massive dumps,
fake electors to vote for Trump instead of Biden. We already knew this. Remember that we actually talked about this not long ago. One of the Republican lawmakers who signed the fake Arizona document was State Representative Jake Hoffman. He was confronted about this and said, who organized this? Who told you to show up that day and sign this fraudulent document? He ran away from reporters. Remember, we looked at this clip.
When Bram wants to ask a real question, happy to have a conversation with him.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, but actually, Richard Ellis from the Republic, I had a couple things I was going to ask you. That being one of yourself as elector.
I'm asking you that question. One, to what authority did you find yourself as an elector?
So in unprecedented times, unprecedented action is occurred. There is no case law. There is no precedent that exists as to whether or not an election that is currently being litigated in the courts has due standing, which is why we felt it appropriate to provide Congress and the Vice President with dueling opinions.
Did you have direction from anybody in doing this? Was it you, 11, yourself doing this, or did someone give you advice on the manner in which you can do it?
So I'm simply, I was one of the electors, right? I'm not in charge of the electors, so you would need
how
to...
How did you hear about it?
You
how
would,
did you hear about
You
it?
Would need to ask the party chair
How did you hear
that.
About it? How did you hear about the plan? Were so you just told to be someone?
You would need to ask the party chair that question.
Right, but you're the person who received the call. You showed up, right? How did you know to show up that day?
So as I said, you can go ahead and ask the party chair the logistics of it.
Ask
so
her how you got a phone call to go somewhere?
You're welcome to talk to them about the
logistics.
Do you
not know how you arrived at a place?
Thank you. I appreciate your
Do
question.
Do you really not
Thank
know
you so
how
much.
You got a call?
Have a great one.
The other question, I was hoping to see
you.
So this needs to be taken completely seriously. If at the individual level you fill out a fake ballot, sometimes you go to jail. We've seen that happen at the individual level. They tried to steal the whole election, and all of a sudden it's like, well, are we going to do anything about that? Might we file charges? it's a federal crime to interfere with the mail. But if you're the postmaster general, you can sabotage the whole system, make it more difficult to vote by mail, and there's no repercussions. It's common that at the street level, things are punished. And then at the structural level, they are not. Now, all of this goes back to one of the many prongs that they had in place to try to steal the election. One prong was that if there are states that they just won't accept were won by Joe Biden on January 6th or December 14th, depending on how the plan went, instead of sending only the Democratic electors to D.C., what Republicans wanted to do was send an alternate slate of electors. And they wanted to force Mike Pence, when it came time for Arizona's votes to be counted, for example, for Mike Pence to say, because the results of Arizona seem fake. I mean, I don't even know how you say it and not sound like a complete authoritarian clown. Instead of accepting the Democratic votes from Arizona, we have these other, what's the number, 7, 14, I don't remember, these other electors from Arizona. How do you vote? We vote for Trump. That was the plan. Now, that plan failed. But understand that if they had had different people in place at the state level, if Trump had had the generals with him, as was warned now a couple weeks ago by retired military generals, the outcome could have been different. It's really great that it failed, given how badly it could have gone. But this was a plan for a complete coup, including possibly declaring a state of emergency was being floated, trying to get the military to enforce a different winner, fake electors flipping states by pressuring secretaries of state. They are going to try it again. We just saw. They don't even know. Joni Ernst asked, what are three things you would do? She has nothing. So they're not trying to win on policy. They are going to try this again, and we have to be ready for it. And we'll have more on this on our Instagram. Find us on Instagram at David Pakman Show. I have a truly glorious story for you today of justice and instant karma. And we can say that that's what it is because thankfully nobody got hurt. This could have gone a different way. And we could be talking about a tragedy here. Fortunately, nobody got hurt. What am I talking about? David, sir, what on earth are you talking about? A Virginia mom went to a school board meeting and threatened that if her children were made to wear masks in school, she would show up with loaded guns. Loaded guns. This is in Luray, Virginia. The woman is Amelia Ruffner King. She has been charged with making an oral threat while on school property and has been released on a $5,000 bond. All of this relates to these threats that she made when speaking to the school board. Listen to this and pay particular attention to whether it sounds like she's making a joke here. Because that's an issue. Take a listen.
No mask mandates. My children will not come to school on Monday with a mask on. All right. That's not happening. And I will bring every single gun loaded and ready to I will call every.
That's 3 minutes. You've gone past your time. It's a policy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'll see y'all on Monday.
I will bring every single gun loaded if you have a mask policy, and I will see y'all on Monday. She later, after being arrested and charged, which is exactly what should happen, she apologized to the board. She said she wasn't referring to actual firearms. I will murder every last one of you with the loaded guns I own, which I will be with here on Monday, January 24th. Oh, I didn't mean literal guns. No, I mean, I meant my verbal firepower. That's absolutely all I meant. These people are a danger and it needs to be taken very, very seriously. The school board meeting happened just after Glenn Youngkin signed an executive order allowing parents to opt their kids out of mask mandates. So it actually didn't even matter whether the school put in a mask mandate because Glenn Youngkin gave outrageous parents like this woman the ability to opt their kids out of such a mandate anyway. It should not be written off as just the idle rantings or whatever. every single one of these people has to be taken very seriously. And the reason we know that is we see the real world violence that these people are committing. So it cannot be laughed off to any degree. And in this particular case, she was immediately arrested. Hopefully she will think twice about doing this again. That being said, it probably doesn't dissuade her if she was determined to show up with guns. I don't think an arrest and bailing out on $5,000 bond actually changes your mind. I mean, these people are so out there that if they really believe I must show up with guns to defend my children against masks, getting arrested and bailed out very quickly is not going to dissuade them. So probably this is someone who should continue to be monitored and see what she's up to. Not anyone I would want anywhere near anybody I know or care about. That's for sure. I am not being hyperbolic here. I am going to show you clips of what I believe is Donald Trump's worst interview that I've ever seen him give. And I'm not going to say it's significantly worse than the Jonathan Swan Axios interview. It may be equally bad, but this is at least equally bad in terms of being Trump's worst interview that I have ever seen. I read that this took place and I couldn't believe it. I had to go and find the clip for myself. I read that Sean Hannity asked Trump about Biden's strategy of metaphorically banging your head against the wall and expecting results from that. It was a metaphor, the metaphor of banging your head against the wall. Donald Trump answered that the wall would have been done in 3 weeks if he had been reelected. Please understand what I'm saying. Hannity talks about metaphorically banging your head against the wall. And Trump answers about the literal wall that he claims he was building on the U.S.-Mexico border. And people are questioning Joe Biden's cognitive state. Listen to this.
So, you know, it's, you know, you keep banging your head against the wall. Why would you expect a different result?
So we would have had the wall completed in 3 weeks. It was largely completed.
Guys, this is a former president. It's a former president. At another point during the interview, Hannity says Trump created monoclonal antibodies. Now, I've heard Trump be wrongly credited with creating the vaccines, which he didn't do. Hannity is saying Trump created the monoclonal antibodies as well. I thought it was Regeneron. Take a listen.
You left office with three vaccines and monoclonal antibodies that you had created, which to this day, I think is the best therapeutic. I advise people to talk to them.
It's a therapeutic. What? Trump now created the antibodies too? Like what is happening? People watch this. Just on the basis of those two clips alone, this is the most insane interview I've seen Trump do. Right up there with the Jonathan Swan interview. But then if I told you this, you'd say, David, sir, it's 2022. This can't be going on. Trump is still bragging about the dementia test. He's still talking about it.
Do you believe he's struggling cognitively? Because that question was raised about you. And I've been around you long enough to know that's not a problem for you at all.
Well, I went and took a test, and as Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who's great, great guy. Now he's a congressman and they love him in Texas. But he said he aced it. And I don't think he ever saw anyone ace it. And I immediately said, because they started passing the false narrative.
Guys, he's still bragging about the dementia test. He thinks it's an IQ test. He thinks that doing well on a test meant to screen out relatively serious dementia, that he's worthy of Mensa membership or something. I mean, it's 2022 and he's still doing it in a moment totally beyond parody in criticizing Joe Biden's thus far handling of the Ukraine-Russia situation. Trump says he never had a problem with Ukraine. What about the impeachment related to Ukraine? What?
These things would have happened. You wouldn't have had inflation. You wouldn't have had Ukraine problems with Russia. It was all working out. Everything was fine.
The guy was impeached over his problems with Ukraine. Continuing now, I've never seen an interview like that. It's every answer is from another planet. Trump says windmills are ruining the atmosphere. guys. Wind farms, wind power.
And if you could start that up again and stop with all of the windmills all over the place that are ruining the atmosphere. You look at what's happening to these beautiful prairies and plains and these gorgeous areas of our country where they have these rusting hulks put up all over the place where that are noisy, they're killing the birds. I mean, I don't get the environmentalist, and it's a very expensive form, probably the most expensive form of energy.
Now, understand, we could just do an hour on wind energy. Understand that each of these things has been studied. First and foremost, when technologies are newer, they are nowhere near full efficiency. So without a doubt, wind power will become more efficient, meaning being able to harvest more power, generate more power from the same amount of wind. That's it. We've seen it with solar panels. We've seen it all over the place. The bird stuff has been studied extensively. And while it is true that some birds are killed due to wind farms, the number of animals killed by fossil fuels is orders of magnitude greater on a per energy basis. It's been studied. But this is the stuff that the Fox audience accepts uncritically. Now, last clip here, and this is, again, I can't believe we are. If there's ever been evidence that we're in a simulation, it's that Trump's still doing this stuff. Trump again brags about the size of the crowd at the insurrection.
And with a lot less than 20,000 troops also. The fact is, I knew it was going to be a massive rally because this was a protest rally against the election, which they considered to be totally rigged. They were right. And this was a protest against the election. And I was told by so many people, oh, we're going down on the 6th. We're going down. And that's why I met with the top people, top people in military and other places. And I said, I think this is going to be a lot of people coming down. I can tell you, I believe it was the biggest crowd I've ever spoken to. It was massive.
The absolute biggest crowd ever incited by a president to attempt an insurrection. We have never seen anything like this, truly. And the majority of the Republican Party, based on all recent polling, wants 4 more years of that, and they may get it. They may get it, depending on what happens in 2022. And of course, what happens with Trump's health and whether Joe Biden runs again and all these different things. But more than half of them want it, and they may get it, which is absolutely horrifying. So dozens of you emailed me over the weekend saying I have to see this segment of Fox News propagandist Tucker Carlson sort of bemoaning that he is going to find the new way that M&Ms are anthropomorphized in commercials less arousing and less of a turn on to him. As many of you know, I kind of don't pay much attention to the news over the weekend. And then a Sunday evening, I'll start picking out stories for the Monday show. And I didn't know what to expect based on all of the emails I had from people saying, check out the Tucker thing. It is downright creepy and bizarre. Now, let me give you guys some context. M&M's announced, I don't know, do I need to explain M&M's? M&M's are this chocolate candy. There's regular M&M's, there's peanut M&M's, there's peanut butter M&M's, you know, all these different kinds. And in the commercials, they are anthropomorphized, meaning they are drawn with eyes and shoes and legs and all this different stuff. Apparently, among other changes, the brown M&M is going to be redrawn as slightly less stereotypically attractive. I don't even know what to call it. Like brown M&M's high heels will be slightly lower. And Tucker believes that this is part of the big culture war that he thinks is being fought. And he's angry that brown M&M won't be as attractive to him. This is beyond belief. Take a look at this.
Finally tonight, we don't usually give story tips to NPR, but here's a story they might want to cover pretty soon and doubtless will. M&M's, the candy company, has just announced that it's redesigning its cartoon characters to be more gender inclusive. Bet you didn't think M&Ms were pushing intolerance, but they were. They've been changed. You're seeing the changes right now on your screen. The green M&M, you will notice, is no longer wearing sexy boots. Now she's wearing sensible sneakers.
That's going to make it really, really tough for Tucker to enjoy looking at these images, though, because it's just not attractive enough to him.
Why the change? Well, according to M&M's, quote, "We all win when we see more women in leading roles, because leading women do not wear sexy boots. Leading women wear frumpy shoes. The frumpier, the better. That's the rule." The other big change is that the brown M&M has, quote, "transitioned from high stilettos to lower block heels."
Whoa.
"Also less sexy. That's progress. M&Ms will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is deeply unappealing and totally androgynous. Until the moment you wouldn't want to have a drink with any one of them. That's the goal. When you're totally turned off, we've achieved equity. They've won." Meanwhile, in a nod to the burgeoning wellness movement, the orange M&M will, quote, "acknowledge and embrace his anxiety." And actually, Whoa. If you look at him, the orange M&M does appear very anxious. Maybe he doesn't like all the ugly new shoes he sees around him. Maybe he liked the sexy boots.
Yeah. Does anybody else find it strange that Tucker Carlson is so keyed into how attractive he finds anthropomorphized chocolate candy to be? Does anybody care about this? And in all, close your eyes for a moment. Let me take you on a journey. Close your eyes. It's 2017. Trump has just come to power. And I tell you about a segment in which Tucker Carlson is bemoaning the fact that the brown M&M is now being anthropomorphized in a less appealing way to him sexually. You would have said, David, that's an SNL skit. That's SNL 2017. You would have said that's a parody. But it is actually now the culture war that they are fighting. And some people see this and they actually get angry. Hey, man, did you see what they're doing with M&Ms? Man, freaking let's go, Brandon, Joe Biden, these people, communist. It's terrible. Liberal, crazy. It's what they've done with M&Ms is just unconscionable. Yeah. I saw. And green also. Remember the shoes the green used to have? What is wrong with these people? But they don't have anything else. I mean, we watched Joni Ernst earlier struggle to name anything that Republicans would do if they won in November. And they may win. Republicans may win the Senate. They may win the House. And they can't articulate anything they would do. I guess maybe Tucker would want to bring back hot brown M&M. But that's not really much of a policy that does anything for working people. And it is, I was like, no, my audience is exaggerated. This is not what the clip was. And it's exactly what the clip was. And it's extraordinarily disturbing. Hey, Donald Trump was onto something when he indirectly criticized Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for not admitting that he's gotten his COVID booster. This is a really interesting developing story. So here's the backstory. Back in December, Trump brown noser Maria Bartiromo asked Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, also known as Ron Death Santis in some circles, "Have you gotten the booster?" And DeSantis didn't answer the question. OK, so let me set the stage with this original clip from December.
"Governor, we're not even sure what fully vaccinated means anymore. The other day, Dr. Fauci said, you know, we could be that fully vaccinated means three shots, which is two shots for the vaccination and then one booster shot. Have you gotten the booster?"
"So I've done whatever I did, the normal shot. And, you know, that at the end of the day is people's individual decisions about what they want to do."
"I've done whatever I've done." Yes. Right. "And what we are trying to ascertain is what is it that you have done?" But he didn't answer.
"But these boosters in terms now, Florida, we ban vaccine passports. We won't let them fire you, even private businesses, over this because we don't think."
Did you get the booster? In Florida, we won't let them fire you if you don't get the booster. Right. But the question was, did you get the booster? So Donald Trump, to his credit, as part of this building fight between Trump and DeSantis, which is really it's an early fight for the 2024 Republican nomination. Don't be confused that it's anything else. Donald Trump astutely pointed out that there are these politicians who won't tell you if they got the booster.
This was Trump when interviewed by OAN. And he's talking about Ron DeSantis here, but he doesn't name him by name.
It's something out there. But after now so many months of the vaccine being administered and these side effects and Americans' questions of it, do you reconsider your push for it, or what's your view now on the vaccine in general?
Well, I've taken it. I've had the booster. Yep. Many politicians, I watched a couple of politicians be interviewed, and one of the questions was, did you get the booster? Because they had the vaccine. And they, they're answering it like, in other words, the answer is yes, but they don't want to say it. Because they're gutless.
Right.
They say it. Whether you had it or not, say it. Right. But the fact is that I think the vaccine has saved tens of millions of people throughout the world. Okay. I have had absolutely no side effects. I've had it like other people have
so
had it.
So Trump is, we know, he's referring to Ron DeSantis, and Trump is increasingly starting to attack DeSantis directly. Roger Stone has started to attack Ron DeSantis. DeSantis has started to back away from Trump and say things like, maybe shouldn't have followed him quite as much on COVID leadership early in the pandemic. Remember, there was no such leadership, but doesn't really matter. Ron DeSantis over the weekend was asked again, very directly, did you get your COVID booster? And now he is straight up admitting he's not going to say why, not going to say whether he got it, because it's going to be used against him.
So that's something that, I think people should just make their own decisions on. I'm not going to.
Right, but the question was not whether we know others should decide. We're asking you, Governor, what did you decide? And then he says he's not going to say.
Let that be a weapon for people to be able to use. I think it's a private matter. We've worked hard to be able to protect people so they don't lose their jobs on that.
Now, understand that DeSantis says his position is, if I understand it correctly, he got vaccinated. He won't say if he got boosted, but he says he got vaccinated. He got vaccinated, but they won't allow the mandates in Florida, and they won't allow you to be fired because you haven't been vaccinated. So the coherent position would be, I did get boosted, and I don't believe anyone should be fired if they don't get boosted. That's a completely coherent position. But DeSantis knows that his Republican followers in Florida are so weaponized and so uninformed that if he just admits that he got the booster, he will get people who are mad at him for that. That's why, because it wouldn't become a weapon if you say, I've chosen to get it and everybody should be able to make the choice and no one should be fired. That's a coherent position. It's not, we don't have to agree with the position, but it's coherent. It shouldn't make any of his followers mad, but it will. And that's why DeSantis isn't admitting that he got the booster.
I have said publicly that, the FDA recommended it against boosters for people in my age group, and the CDC overrode that. And I think that was based on politics. I don't think that was based on science. Two of the top FDA people actually resigned in protest. Many people didn't hear about that.
Remember, the question was, did you get your booster?
You know why? Well, because it didn't fit the narrative. I can tell you, if you had a different president of a different party, that would have been hair on fire stuff, that people would have been able to do. So in Florida, they've been available for people. People can make their own decisions on it. But it's not been something that, that we've been telling people in my age group, to go out and do.
Right. But again, that was not the question. The question was simply, did you get the booster? And going very much out of his way to avoid saying whether he did or didn't. I think he probably did. It would be crazy not to, particularly given that Ron DeSantis's wife is currently undergoing treatment for breast cancer. It would be wholly irresponsible for him not to get that third dose, given how effective it is at preventing serious illness. According to what Vincent Racaniello told us last week, reducing the possibility that you transmit the virus to others. So I think he probably did get it, but understand how weaponized the people around him are that he can't even admit it. And Trump is right. You should just say it. I either got it or I didn't, and deal with whatever the consequences are. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192 David P. Here's kind of like a which would you rather. And I'm aware that this voicemail may be asked in bad faith of me. I don't know for sure, but I don't care. I think it's an interesting question and I have a very clear answer. So let's take a listen. If you want to leave a voicemail, 2192 David P.
Hey, David, I have a hypothetical question for you. Would you rather step onto an elevator with someone who is unvaccinated? Or would you rather step onto an elevator with someone who is smoking a cigarette? That's it. Just a hypothetical question for thought.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a very, I would rather step into an elevator with someone who is unvaccinated rather than with someone emanating cigarette smoke like a chimney. If I wear a mask around someone who is smoking a cigarette in an enclosed place, I think that that smoke gets through just about every mask. People could correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I think even with an N95, cigarette smoke particles are smaller than COVID. Also, if someone is unvaccinated on an elevator with me, it doesn't mean that they are sick. Statistically, they're not sick. So it seems like a very easy question to answer. And, you know, sometimes with these questions, again, the reason it's sort of a weird question, maybe it's just a curiosity. The answer is obvious to me. But sometimes people try to use these questions as sort of gotchas. Like if I say, no, I'd rather be in the elevator for 20 seconds or whatever it is with someone not vaccinated rather than with someone emanating cigarette smoke. There's no vaccine against conditions caused by cigarette smoke. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like the answer is irrelevant to anything about vaccine or mask policy. And that's why I wonder sort of like what the point of the question is. But if you disagree, let me put it this way. If there's anyone in my audience who would rather spend 20 or 30 seconds in an elevator with someone smoking cigarettes rather than with an unvaccinated person, masked or unmasked, whatever, it doesn't matter. For me, the answer would always be I'd rather it be with the unvaccinated person. It's a short amount of time. I can wear a mask. I have 3 vaccines. So that would be my answer. We are going to have a big story tomorrow about what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. And the situation does seem to be escalating there significantly. One of the elements of that is that the U.S. State Department has ordered the families of embassy staff in the U.S. embassy in Ukraine to leave the country. And we're going to talk about that on today's bonus show. We also are going to talk about New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who has taken, I don't remember if it's his whole salary or his first payment in Bitcoin. That has now been devalued significantly because of the decline in cryptocurrency markets. So we'll talk about Eric Adams. I think there are some NFL players or at least one being paid in Bitcoin. We're going to talk about it. I'll also talk about what I have done, if anything, with my Bitcoin. Hint, I've done nothing. That's almost always my strategy. And thirdly, the Arizona Democratic Party has formally censured Kyrsten Sinema. And we are going to talk about, like, what does that mean? Does that really do anything? What are the impacts of that? And what is it that does it really have any repercussions for her at all? So that's all going on. I hope you will join me this Saturday evening. The next Donald Trump rally for the 2022 campaign season will be taking place in Conroe, Texas. And as I mentioned earlier, if you live nearby and you can get there, we want to hire someone in the audience to go to the rally, interview people live with me on via Skype or Zoom. We'll figure out how to do it during our live stream. So get in touch, info@davidpakman.com. Let me know what equipment you have. And the equipment might just be like, you know, an iPhone and a microphone you plug into it. Your ability to get there, if you know how you can get yourself in, et cetera. We're going to hire one person to do this, but get in touch. info@davidpakman.com. We have a fantastic week of shows coming up for you. And remember that you can get instant access to the bonus show by signing up at Join.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
nuclear holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz. Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh, yeah, bringing you the only fat beat.
USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh, right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Nuclear holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
And the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz. Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
WRCT. In sound. From way out.
Take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible. Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
It's up to about 8,500 personnel.
The Pentagon's placing 8,500 troops on high alert for possible deployment to Eastern Europe as tensions escalate between Russia and Ukraine. We'll speak to William Hartung and Anatole Levin, both of the Quincy Institute.
A real threat now exists of war in Europe and a Russian invasion of Ukraine. However, in my view, this could still be avoided fairly easily by a series of compromises with Russia concerning NATO membership, the deployment of NATO forces, and autonomy for eastern Ukraine.
We'll also look at the Biden administration's ongoing review of U.S. nuclear weapons policy. Dozens of groups recently issued a joint statement calling for the elimination of hundreds of U.S. intercontinental ballistic nuclear missiles. Meanwhile, the Archbishop of New Mexico has called for the abolition of nuclear weapons around the globe.
This has never happened before in U.S. church history. And it's the first time an official has responded so profoundly to Pope Francis's call for nuclear disarmament.
We'll speak to longtime peace activist Father John Deere about the Catholic Church's stance on nuclear weapons and the death of his dear friend, the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Pentagon's placed 8,500 troops on heightened alert to potentially deploy to Eastern Europe over concerns Russia may soon invade Ukraine. The U.S. and NATO allies have accused Russia of amassing 100,000 troops near the Ukrainian border, but Russia's denied it's planning an invasion. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki spoke Monday.
And we have a sacred obligation to support the security of our eastern flank countries. I think it's important to remember who the aggressor is here. It is not the United States. It is not these eastern flank countries. It is Russia, who has tens of thousands of troops on the border of Ukraine.
This comes as other NATO nations are planning to send additional troops, ships, and fighter jets to Eastern Europe. On Monday, the Kremlin accused the United States and NATO of escalating tension in the region. Meanwhile, negotiations to resolve the crisis are ongoing, with officials from Russia, Ukraine, France, and Germany scheduled to meet in Paris Wednesday. We'll have more on the crisis over Ukraine after headlines. The United States reported more than 2,100 COVID-19 deaths on Monday, even as daily cases and hospitalizations continue to decline from record highs set earlier this month. Here in New York, a judge ruled Monday Governor Kathy Hochul's statewide mask mandate for all indoor public places was enacted unlawfully and is now void. Supreme Court Justice Thomas Rademacher ruled that only lawmakers rather than the governor or health officials had the authority to enact the mask mandate. New York's Department of Health is planning an appeal. In Virginia, seven school districts have filed suit to block Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin's executive order making masks optional in schools. On Monday, the first of 400 million free N95 masks for the public began arriving at U.S. pharmacies after the Biden administration ordered them delivered from the Strategic National Stockpile. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin said Monday she's tested positive for coronavirus. Palin's announcement prompted a U.S. district judge in New York to delay the start of Palin's defamation trial against the New York Times, which was set to begin Monday. Palin has refused to be vaccinated against COVID-19, telling a conservative conference last month, quote, "It will be over my dead body that I'll have to get a shot," unquote. The New York Times reports that on Saturday, Palin dined indoors at Elio's Italian restaurant in Manhattan, despite a city ordinance requiring customers provide